Father God, we do thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you have done and everything that you are doing in our midst. And Father God, we just thank you right now as we go to minister your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void. But Father God, we thank you that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And Father God, help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We thank you, Father, as we hear the word, as we do the word, Father, we thank you that not only will keep that for ourselves, but we'll go out and we'll minister to others and we'll touch those that are hurting, those that need God. And Father God, we just thank you for revival to this generation, revival to this nation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. Father, we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, as we go to minister today, that they won't see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising word of the Lord. We just thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for mom and dad as they're there on crusade. We thank you for giving them strength. We thank you for miracles and healings will take place in their meetings this week. We give you the glory, honor, and praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke chapter 8. And I'm going to look at a story. I normally read this story from Mark chapter 5, but I was looking the other day at what Jesus told this man, and I really just some things hit home the other day, and I want to share that with you guys as well. Luke chapter 8, the 41st verse says this. It says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was the ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying." But think about this. You know, if you are a parent or a grandparent and ever had a child who was sick, much less dying. I mean, even if your kid just has the flu, it hurts you to see your kid suffering. I mean, you'll do anything you can so that kid wouldn't suffer. I know one time when I broke my leg, I know my dad told me, he said, "You know, son, if I could take your place, I would." I mean, because, you know, he didn't like seeing me in pain. I mean, think about the elation when you come to Jesus, and basically he was like, you know, "Jesus, please come to my house." And when Jesus said he would, think about the elation. Think about how excited this man was, knowing that Jesus was going to come. And I know that he had faith that his daughter would be healed. And so it's always an exciting time to know that. But it says, "But as he," talking about Jesus, "went, the multitudes thronged him." And that's when we hear see the story about the woman with the issue of blood who had a blood disease. And she came down and she touched the hem of his garment, and immediately, you know, she was made whole. And picking back up in verse 48, it says, he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So Jesus was talking to the woman who just got healed. And while he was talking to the woman, verse 49 picks up, says, "While he was speaking, someone came to the ruler from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, 'Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher.'" So here he just witnessed a great miracle, and all of a sudden he got the worst news you can ever think of: your daughter's dead. So he went from, I mean, you can relate to this man. He went from being elated that Jesus was going to come and heal his daughter to, "Oh my goodness, you know, I've lost everything." Because, you know, I can't imagine, you know, my kids, you know, being killed. I mean, that's, you realize that a death of a child is usually after someone has a child that dies, marriages don't even last. It just devastates a family. So you can imagine the devastation that this man was feeling. And that's when we pick up with verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, so he heard what they told the guy, he answered him saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." Now, you know, think about this. I mean, you know, maybe we're not in situations where our daughter's dying or anyone's dying in our family, but how many of us a lot of times are going through situations where we're trusting and believing God for a healing or for a financial blessing or whatever, and it seems like everybody else is getting their needs met, and things aren't happening for you. It seems like, and maybe you at one time said you were just believing it, but all of a sudden it seems like it's not happening. But Jesus gave this man three steps, and I think those are three steps that Jesus wants to give you today. Step number one is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, because when this man heard the news, the first thing that you can think about is fear grips you. Fear of the future, fear of his wife. I'm sure his wife is, being able to handle the going forward. Now here's the thing: is that when we go through life and we go through situations, fear is going to come in. Now, it's okay to have a thought, but it's not okay to dwell on that thought. Now, see, my grandfather, talked about when he was alive that the last headache he had was August of 1933 or something like that. And, it's been 68 years or 58 years out. Every year we get more and more. And so I asked him, one day, said, "So you're telling me your head has never hurt in all those years?" He goes, "No, I didn't say that." He says, "I passed up many marvelous opportunities to have a headache." Well, what's that mean? That means sometimes his head would hurt. But he had the choice of accepting the headache or deciding, I'm not gonna accept that headache. I'm not gonna take it. Now, see, what happens is when fear comes in, when you have a thought of fear, immediately you have to, understand that, no, I'm not gonna have that thought of fear, because God has not given me a spirit of fear. The Bible says that. I mean, if any of us are to say that I'm afraid, is contrary to the word of God. The Bible says God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So if I don't have a spirit of fear, or if God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, then fear only comes from one place, and that's the devil himself. And, I say it over and over again, and I've said it here, but, for somebody to tell me that they're afraid of something, it really bothers me. And when someone says, "Well, I'm afraid of heights," or I'm afraid of closed-in spaces, and I'm claustrophobic, or I'm afraid of spiders, or afraid of, but God didn't give you a spirit of fear. Now, whenever you're accepting the fact that you're afraid of something, then that means you're letting the devil dominate you in one area of your life. So how many other areas are you letting the devil dominate and not even thinking about it? I mean, because I've talked to many times and people say, "Well, I just don't like to go up in high places." I'm sorry to tell them, but one day, when the roll is called up yonder, we're going to go to a high place. So hopefully they can get over that spirit of fear. But the fact of the matter is, the reason we're afraid people fall out of buildings or whatever. Not normally. I mean, you usually have to jump. Now, I always talk about that if you're afraid of being in an elevator with somebody, don't get in the elevator with me. But don't tell me that you're afraid of being in an elevator, because, I'll make it more scary for you or whatever. It's because I grew up on elevators. When I grew up, we traveled in ministry and as a young kid, have nothing else to do in a hotel. I played on elevators a lot, so I There are some certain, I mean, you get to know some of the models of different elevators. There are certain model I could open up between floors. I knew how to open up the thing. I mean, I used to try to figure out there are certain models you can actually stop the elevator without the alarm going off and all kinds of stuff. It was it's been a long time. I mean, years and years and years, you know, and all those are older models. I have no clue with the newer models, but I can at least, you know, make it more unfun for you if you're afraid of elevators. But, you know, why should we be afraid of anything? Now, to admit you're afraid is to admit that, like I said, you know, that God's not dominating that area. It's interesting, this context, do not be afraid or fear not. Anytime an angel of the Lord ever appeared to somebody in the Bible, those are the first words out of the angel's mouth. Don't be afraid, fear not. Why? I guess, you know, it's commonplace to be afraid when somebody pops out of nowhere and shows up in your face. I guess that's kind of a normal thing that people get afraid. You know, but why Jesus was telling the man not to be afraid is because fear is the opposite of faith. When you're afraid of something, you're not having faith. All right? When you're afraid of something, you're not believing. And so sometimes what you need to do is to knock yourself out of fear. Now, we'll have plenty of opportunities to be afraid. Like, you know, how am I going to pay this bill? Or how am I going to do this? Or how am I going to do that? And the thing I always say is quit trying to figure out how you're going to do it and let God do it. As long as you're trying to figure out how you're going to do it, you're going to get afraid. Because you can't meet all your needs. I don't care how big you are or how strong you are. You can't meet all your needs. You don't have all the natural and physical answers. I mean, if you did, you wouldn't even need God. But, there are some times where opportunities come in to be afraid. You know, you should never let fear motivate you. I know a lot of times something happens and people get afraid to do certain things, you know, because something happened. It's just like, well, you know, after the 9/11, some people were afraid to fly. You know, according to statistics, that's probably the best time to fly. Because, you know, security was ramped up and things like that. You know, actually, now it'd be more scary to fly because security's not as quite, it might be ramped up, but people have got lax. And you know, it's not as big a deal, you know, because people forgot about what happened. I remember 9/11. I was mad that they canceled my flight that day. I was supposed to go to Miami, Florida. And in fact, that's how I remember 9/11. I was packing, getting ready to take a trip to Miami, getting ready to head to the airport, and it never dawned on me after watching all this that they were going to cancel my flight. I mean, I guess I must be weird or something, but I never even figured, you know, never thought about, well, I might be afraid to fly. You know, that didn't even cross my mind until later on when they were making an announcement that said, you know, the flights are all canceled. And I'm like, well, I'm not driving to Miami. So, you know, it took me 2 months to get to Miami after that, or about a month and a half or so to be able to fly there, to make a trip that we needed to make. But, you know, we shouldn't be afraid. Now, especially when things happen that you didn't think were going to happen, a lot of times we get afraid, or sometimes maybe afraid is not the right word, maybe disappointed. You know, but a lot of times what happens is we get, you know, this man could have accepted what these guys said and got afraid, got disappointed, and it would have knocked him out of his faith. How many times do we do that in our own faith? Now, the next thing that Jesus told him was only believe. Now, when Jesus said only believe, he didn't give him a choice not to believe. He told him to believe. Only believe. And I believe sometimes that's what we have to tell ourselves. When we're going through situations, when we're going through circumstances and it looks like it's not going to happen, just believe. Only believe. Now, what are we believing in? Because see, a lot of times people are believing, you know, that they're going to be able to meet their need, or they're believing, but you know, we have to believe that God will meet our need. Actually, technically, we have to believe that God already has met our need. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died upon the cross, when he said those words, "It is finished," he was talking about my issues, my problems, my situations. By his stripes, I was healed. I were healed, if that technically is what the Bible says. You know, so I was healed 2,000 years ago. It's just I need to claim it today. Amen. Now, you know, if I'm not going to believe, now for me not to believe is basically saying that God can't do that for me. Or usually it's not that God can't, we think that I'm not good enough for God to do it for me. Or maybe I hadn't been a good enough Christian or whatever this or whatever that. But, you know, the thing is, we try to figure out in our own mind, this is the devil tries to put thoughts in our head. Well, just, you know, that woman right there, well, she got healed, you know, but I don't get my needs met because he's a better Christian or this or that or whatever. You know, first of all, Jesus didn't come for the people who are worthy. All right? He came for you. Now, it doesn't matter whether we're quote unquote worthy or not worthy, you have been made worthy. And so you are worthy. Whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're worthy. You're worthy. And in fact, even if you are not a Christian, do you realize, even if you're not a Christian, the Bible says that Jesus still stands at the door of your heart and knocks, waiting for you to open it up. It doesn't say, well, you know, if you're too bad, I don't want to come in. If you've done a lot of wrong stuff, you know, it's not about what you have done. It's about how much he loves you. Yeah. Now, nothing can separate you from the love of God. So God loves you regardless of whatever you've done. Regardless of how much of a fool you made of yourself. Regardless of all your mistakes. Now, I always use, when I look at people who I think probably was unworthy, I look at the Apostle Paul, who used to be Saul, who went around killing Christians. I mean, you know, so if you want to think someone might not be worthy, why would this guy be worthy? I mean, and this is, you know, a guy who wrote a lot of our New Testament. You know, but if he's worthy, then I haven't killed anybody. You know, and especially someone that's preaching the word. You know, but the thing about it is that we in our own mind, you know, we discount that ourself. We tell ourselves that God doesn't want to meet my need. Because of whatever our mind thinks. And that's really, you know, that thought's from the devil. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll try to destroy your dreams, your visions, your goals. Everything that you want and desire, he'll try to destroy because that's his job. You know, and for me to tell you that you're going to not have him do that, I would be lying to you. Because John 10:10, that Jesus tells us the devil's out there and he's going to try to destroy everything, you know, that you want. But he said, you know what? I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so whenever the devil tries to put things in your mind, you got to think about Jesus. You got to think about what he did for you. And like I said, you know, my terminology is Jesus didn't die on the cross for me not to get this need met. He didn't die on the cross so that I won't have this situation taken care of. Now, you know, Webster's New World Dictionary says that faith is an unquestioning belief. And I believe so many times is that we don't realize that we're getting out of faith. Because whenever you ask, Lord, when is this going to happen? That's a question. Lord, how come this hasn't happened yet? That's another question. You know, Lord, why has this not happened yet? That's another question. Do you realize according to the dictionary definition of faith, you're not in it? Now, it really helped me. I mean, you know, that's one time the dictionary actually really had blessed me a whole lot. Because anytime I found myself asking God a question, who, what, why, when, how, you know, you learn those in English, hopefully. Some of you learned, you know, we should have learned those in English. Anytime you're asking a question, you're not in faith. You're not in faith. Questions are not faith. Now, see, fear will bring questions. Usually when fear comes in, we try to figure out how are we going to make this happen? Or how, I mean, you know, I don't see how. But the Bible says we're not moved by what we see or what we feel. We have to basically go by what we know. And we have to know that God loves us. And we see God's love through Jesus dying on the cross. Now, here's the deal. Naturally, Jesus did not want to die on that cross. In fact, if you read your Bible, Jesus, even when it came down to, you know, a little bit before the moment is going to happen, Jesus said, God, if there's another way, let's try to do that. But there wasn't another way. He sacrificed himself to become the way. You know, and all we have to do is believe. We actually have the easy part. We have the easy part. Just believe. You know, right here, it says only believe. Only believe. So there is not another option. You just believe. You just believe. So what do you do when you think it's not going to happen? Only believe. Now, if you're in fear, you're not going to be believing. You're going to be questioning. And when we question, things are not going to happen for us. And in fact, turn with your in your Bible, and I wasn't going to go here, but let's go here. James chapter 1. James, the first chapter, and the sixth verse, he says, but let him ask if, and this is New King James, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. So whenever you're asking, if you're not in faith, if you're going back and forth, if one day you're asking when, how, why, where, all these questions, then you're going back and forth. According to the word of God, according to James 1:7, it says, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So you're going to have to either believe or not believe. Believe or not believe. You're going to have to quit being wishy-washy and like, well, I think it might happen, or I hope it happens, or this and that. You're going to have to believe. Now, Jesus knew that if he couldn't get this man to believe, that his daughter was not going to be made well. He had to believe. In fact, remember Jesus, this got through telling the woman with issue of blood, your faith has made you whole. It's because she believed. Actually, it says that she said with her mouth, if I just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And what happened is she did what she said she would do, and she got what she expected. Now, wouldn't it be nice to get what we expect? So you need to have higher expectations. A lot of times I have found out when I talk to, especially when it comes to healing, usually we need to be healed. But when it comes to financial blessings, I found out that people are okay with almost having enough. You know, they'll even give testimonies. Well, you know, I was believing God for a certain amount of money, and $1,000, $800 came in. Well, and it's good that $800 came in, but sometimes what happens is after $800 comes in, they stop. I'll just make up the other $200 myself. You know, I got $800. That's great. You have $800, but we serve a God of overflow. You know, a God not just that is more than enough, not just a God of enough. That is exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. And he wants to bless us that much. Now, you know, we have to believe, but really what we have to believe is that our God is taking care of our situation. We don't have to believe that we're taking care of a situation. The Old Testament says it this way in Proverbs, that the trust of the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct my path. You know, there's nothing about me in that whole thing. The only thing about me is just to trust him. Trust him. I'm not meeting my need. And I think a lot of people get in the misnomer when they're standing in faith. They're trying to have faith in themselves. God says, never have faith in yourself. Have faith in God. Amen. Doesn't say have faith in yourself. And people say, well, I'm not trying to have faith in myself. Then why are you trying to figure out why, you know, I mean, how it hasn't happened? Because if you're trying to figure out how to make it happen, you know, what you got to do is figure out, I'm just going to let it happen. Now, you know, there's an old saying, I've heard my grandfather even say, he said, you just hide and watch. You know, because some people coming against and saying, well, it ain't going to happen. Well, you just watch it. You know, because if I am only believing, that means I'm not doubting. Do you realize that? I'm not going back and forth. You know, it's not, as a Christian, you know, I have to only believe. I'm not unstable like it says here. What do they call a person that's up one day, down one day? I'm not a bipolar Christian. But you know what? I've seen some people that I believe that they have bipolar faith. You talk to them one day, and they're like, you know, I mean, they're as solid as a rock. Next day or a few days later, you talk to them, and they're like, I doubt this is going to happen. I don't think it's going to, you know. And basically, you might as well quote the scripture, let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. Only believe. Only believe. It's just that simple. Of course, we all know Mark 9:23 says it this way. It says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now notice, there's an if there. It says, if you can believe. Now, that means if you can't believe, nothing is possible. So really, you receiving from God is not dependent upon God, it's dependent upon you. It's according to your faith be it done unto you. It's according to what you can believe. Can you believe or can you not believe? Because you're the key. Simply, you're the key to your own faith. It's you. Now, many people, they don't want to do anything. They just want to get their needs met. In fact, most people decide, I mean, nothing wrong with having people agree with you and pray with you in faith. You know, nothing wrong with going online and letting people know your issues and be in prayer with them. Nothing wrong with that, you know, a prayer of agreement. But there are a lot of people that whenever something happens, they get a hold of every prayer chain they can get a hold of. And the only people not praying for them or believing for them is their own self. Because we have this misnomer, if we get enough people praying, it's going to happen. If we get enough people praying, you know what? Maybe if you get enough people believing, might be even better than praying. A lot of times we do a lot of times it seems that our prayers are almost begging. You know, or, you know, sometimes it's, well, if it be your will, Lord. Well, if it wasn't his will, he wouldn't have sent his son to die on the cross. He wouldn't have sent his son to take the stripes on his back. Obviously, Jesus took the stripes so you can be healed. So obviously it was his will, because if it wasn't his will, then we serve a mean God. You know, and we serve a God of love. As a father, I don't want to see my kids sick. It's my will that they have a healthy life. It's my will that they have more money than I ever had. It's my will that they have a better life than I ever had. And you know, and that would make me proud. So how much more does our Heavenly Father want us to be well, to be prosperous, to be healthy? You know, a lot of times what happens is we don't put ourselves in God's shoes. And that's why we think, well, God, he's just up there just being mean. Or sometimes we think, well, he put this sickness on me so I can, you know, I can be a martyr and all this stuff. That's the devil telling you that. Right. You know, I'm suffering for Jesus. Well, Jesus suffered so you wouldn't have to suffer for him. Amen. Suffering for Jesus, not helping Jesus. You know, when I don't see people getting healed left and right because somebody's suffering. I'm suffering so you can be healed. No, Jesus suffered so we can be healed. And all we have to do is believe. Only believe. Going back to the 8th chapter, you know, so he says, he tells the man three things. He says, don't be afraid. Only believe. And the third thing was, and she will be made well. So if you get out of fear and you only believe, your need will be met. It will happen. Why? Because you believe. Because God loves us that much. Now, going on, it says, when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except for Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep, she is not dead, but is sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside. So basically, Jesus took everyone who didn't believe and put them outside. Amen. He got rid of everyone. Now, first of all, Jesus told this man to believe, and I'm sure he probably told the wife once you get there, you know, you just believe. And everyone who wasn't believing, he told them to get outside. He only took believing people into that room because he didn't need doubters there. Everyone in that room believed. And I believe that's an example for us. It goes on to say, when he put them all outside, he took her by the hand, calling, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately and commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them not to tell to tell no one what had happened. Now, if we go back to Mark, the sixth chapter of Mark, we read what Jesus said whenever he was ministering in his own hometown. Jesus was ministering, and as he was speaking, as he was ministering, people were saying, well, isn't this the son of Joseph and Mary? Isn't this, that's Jesus. And we grew up with this kid. I mean, he's no one any special. And so verse 4 says, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he lays his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about in the villages in the circuit teaching. So it says that he can only do a few things because people didn't believe. This is Jesus. He can only do a few things. Now, my grandfather, you know, in one of his visions, speaking to Jesus, Jesus was talking about this verse of scripture, and he said, "Well, how many is a few?" And my grandfather said, "Well, I would say probably between 2 and 8." And he said, "Jesus never corrected me, so I believe that's a few." Now, I don't know, that's no exact number, but he couldn't do anything because people didn't believe. Now, here's something that's really scary for us. How many of you, when you're going through a situation, surround yourself with people who don't believe or don't stand with you? And we want to know why sometimes we're not getting our needs met because, and you know, sometimes these people, they're good people. They're good Christian people, a lot of them. They just don't believe. And so this is something, I'm not telling you to lose friends over this situation, but I'm telling you, if some, you know, the people who you're closest with are your biggest sphere of influence. And if you're, you know, if you're believing God, you need to get unbelief, you need to kick it out. Amen. And even if you have to tell someone, you know what, I'm your friend when we'll be friends, but you know, on this issue, I don't need your opinion. I'm not trying to be mean. I just don't want your opinion. You know, my grandfather always said, well, you just be neutral. You don't say anything. Now, here's what happens a lot of times. You know, a lot of times good Christian people come in and give anti-testimonies. I mean, it happens. I see it more when it comes to cancer because cancer has affected pretty much everyone who's had, they've known somebody or one of their friends, one of their relatives, and they go, I've been there in the room, and this person comes in, you know, they just got diagnosed with some kind of cancer, and some lady, one of their best friends come in and says, oh my goodness, my aunt had that same, oh, she had 2 years of the worst time. I mean, it was a major battle, and she died and went to heaven. Praise God, she's in heaven, though. You know, that wasn't a good testimony. Now, it's okay if someone's going to come in and say, my aunt had the same kind of cancer, and praise God, she beat that cancer. That's a testimony. I don't want anti-testimony. I don't care if that's what happened. I don't want to hear it. Anti-testimonies do not give, you know, make your faith any stronger. But what they do is they give an opportunity for fear to creep in. It's scary enough whenever you get diagnosed with something. Because the first thing that happens is, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? And that's when you have to decide it's not about you anymore. It's about you trusting in him. Amen. In fact, your whole life shouldn't really be about you. It should be about you trusting in him. You know, we sing the song, where he leads, I'm going to follow. I mean, you know, it's you trusting in God. If you're going to fulfill what God has for you in God's plan for your life, then you're going to have to let him move you into that place. As long as you're trying to do it, it's not God. I know, you know, and I'm not saying that every so-called word from the Lord is true, but people get a so-called word from the Lord from somebody, and it's interesting. I've watched people try to put themselves in that situation to make it happen. Well, that's kind of stupid. You know, I've had words myself, and I've even been there when, basically, the way my terminology is, well, if it's God, it'll happen. If it's not, it won't. If it's God, it will happen. If not, it won't. I'm not going to try to make it happen. You know, a lot of times it sounds like a good word, but I'm not there to, I don't know. And you know, my grandfather, you know, I really appreciate, he would always show the human side. He said, you know what, I'm a human, I can miss it. This is what I hear God speaking, but it might, if it doesn't bear witness with your own heart, just forget it. Just forget it. See, he was big enough man to say, you know what, I might be wrong. This is what I feel, but I might be wrong. Because a lot, especially if you happen to know that person, you know, if you happen to know the person, it's really hard to give someone a word that you happen to know a little bit about the situation. Because, you know, sometimes it's easy to put our own interpretation on things. You know, and that's why it's really hard too when you're praying about a situation and a move a lot of times, especially if you want to make a move. If you want to make that move, it's really hard, you know, to really to be neutral. Now my grandfather said, you know, one way he knew it really was God were things where he knew he should go do something, but really he didn't want to do it. You know, in his own mind, that wasn't like it didn't sound like that was a step forward. But him, in one situation where he left a certain church, he said that church had the best parsonage, he's had the best salary. Everything was great. And the Lord spoke to both him and my grandmother about going back to, you know, going to another church that paid less money, had a worse parsonage, you know, and the people weren't even as nice, you know. But they both felt in their heart, you know, that was what they were supposed to do. And he said, you know, and they really, you know, so when you feel you're supposed to do something you don't want to really do, but that doesn't really mean anything anyways. A lot of times we just need to let go and let God. Amen. You know, I think we try to figure out too many things. And this is one of the reasons why I don't like New Year's Eve or New Year's. Because what happens is, especially now with social media, everybody gets online to see what Brother so-and-so said about this year. And, you know, and all these things. And you know what? Especially if you weren't even in the meeting, he might even be talking to you. Has anyone ever thought he might not even be talking to me? Maybe it was, you know, God speaking to the people who were at the meeting. So maybe next year you need to get in the guy's meeting if that's what you want to do. But even at that, I don't care whether meeting or not, just, you know, everyone's putting interpretations. And I know this happened. We secretly at the office were really happy whenever the years ran out. But my grandfather, before he passed away, he actually went through a number of years and prophesied about upcoming things, you know, but he didn't tell everyone, you know, he didn't say it was for everybody or whatever, but everyone started, well, this year, well, they're trying to make things happen. You can't make things happen. You have to let things happen. You know, but remember, God loves you. He's always for you. He's never against you. And he wants your needs to be met. He wants you to believe. But one thing we need to do a better job of is getting rid of unbelief people. Now, some people say, well, that's my husband and wife that does that. Well, I'm not saying you got to put them out, okay? There are some times maybe you just don't need to talk about a certain thing. You know, and I understand not everyone has the same revelation that you might have on this. And so don't get mad at them and think, well, you know, get behind me, Satan, and all these kind of things. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we have to put ourselves, surround ourselves with people who are for us, that believe like we do. That you know, can trust in God. Now there was a situation, or there might be a situation, best when it comes to a financial situation, where you might have a lot of people telling you some facts, and that's okay. I mean, I told people before, yeah, I appreciate it. I really kind of already knew all the facts. I didn't really need you to tell me the facts, you know. But the fact is that this is where my faith is, and you know, it's okay to know facts and. You know, it is hard because we all live in a real world, and we all, you know, we. But you only understand we cannot comprehend God and how good He is. We can't comprehend what He can do for us, and just a quick, I mean, just like that. But you know what? We have to also both have to get on the same page. Have to get on the same page, you know. Just like it's good, I mean, hopefully in your marriage, you and your wife, you know, husband and wife get on the same page, because if not, it's miserable. You know, like, you know, if the husband, I always joke around, you know, talking about when doing financial management, and we talk about budgets or whatever, and I say, well, you make sure you guys have the same budget. Because if you have the boat fund in your budget and your wife doesn't want to have it in the budget because she just don't feel that you guys need a boat, you know, then you're kind of sunk. And I found that most situations, the wife usually wins. I don't know what it is. It's just kind of the way it works. I'm old enough to see that the wife usually wins the argument. So your boat fund becomes her clothes fund. But, you know, the thing about it is we have to get on the same page. You know what? You need to surround yourself with people on the same page. And maybe in this situation, when you're trusting God, if so many people are trying to come against the way you're believing and trusting, maybe you need to get off social media or wherever the doubt and unbelief is coming from, because you have enough people that put doubt and unbelief in your life, it's hard to believe. It's hard to only believe when everybody else doesn't believe. You know, and that's one reason my grandfather used to always say was you need to find a church that believes like we do. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of my old friends, they go back to this church or whatever. Well, you know, if they don't believe like we do, then it could cause issues. Because you hear a sermon and, you know, and one sermon's this, one sermon's that. You know, the thing about it is just believe. I mean, God can do more than we can ask or think. I mean it's so awesome what he can do. And the thing about, remember when I started out talking about, here's this Jairus was see, he saw before his eyes this woman with the issue of blood healed like that. And a lot of times we see somebody else getting their needs met, and we get mad because our need hasn't been met yet. But don't get mad. Just believe. Amen. Just believe. Just believe. Or don't start thinking, well, it's never going to happen for me. It's never going to happen. A lot of times, and I don't always, because I don't want to be the Grinch who stole your healing or whatever, but you know, a lot of times I watch people, especially visit them, I watch them talk, and I hear them talking, and then they say that they want to stand, they're standing in the faith, but the way they're talking, they ain't talking a lot of faith. And I understand, you know, it's hard when it hurts. It's hard when you're physically hurting. It's hard, and that's why the time to build your faith up is when everything is going great. Everything is going great. That's whenever you have to start building your faith up and building your faith up so you know what to do. It's, you know, you don't even have to think about it. You just do it. You just believe. Doesn't matter. You just believe. And, I've been there. I've been there, and I've heard these people talk. And, you know, and one thing that we're all really bad about is telling people what we have that we don't want to have. You know, how many times have you gone to work and says, well, hey, you might not want to get close to me because I have a cold and, you know, it's contagious, or I have the flu, or I have this, or I have that, or I have all these things. Well, maybe you should quit having those things and start having your healing. Now, my grandfather was really good about this. And I know a lot of times we're not trying to say, but he was really always good about saying, well, these symptoms are trying to attack my body. He would never say he had it. He would say he had symptoms. Because symptoms are temporary. Right. You know, symptoms are temporary. Quit hanging on to something you don't want. The quickest way to get rid of it is to quit telling everybody you have it. Right. You know, it's like a little kid telling everyone they have cooties. You know, we all remember the little, you know, so-and-so has cooties, don't touch them, and they, you know. You know, if you don't want something, quit having it. You quit telling everybody. Now, there has been times whenever I've talked to somebody and I walk up and I said, now, this is not a faith statement. I'm not giving you a faith. I'm giving you the facts because I want you to believe, stand in agreement with me. So this is not, I'm not saying this because it's a faith statement. I'm telling you what the doctor said. You know, and now sometimes two people also get too over because there's been times when in a healing line where I've asked someone, well, what's wrong with you? And they don't want to tell me because they don't want to have it. And I said, well, I wonder what the doctor say or what is your, you know. And so, you know, sometimes we go a little overboard, but man, don't walk around at work, you know, talking about you have this or that. Now, something else, and this is I'm beating my own self across the head. A lot of times I walk around, you know, man, I'm tired. You know, we can have what we say we can have. You want to be tired? Talk about how tired you are. You know, I'm exhausted. Now, I understand there are times sometimes we're tired and exhausted, but the fact of the matter is the more you think about it, the more you meditate on it, the tireder you get. It's kind of like a fishing story. You know, it started out, the fish actually was this big, but 20 years later, it's this big. You know, because the more you talk about it, the bigger it gets. The more you brag about it, the bigger it gets. It's, was this, but quit talking about quit having what you don't want to have. You know, that's not something we want to have. You know, and we can have what we say we can have. We can do what we say we can do. It's up to us. Three small things. Get out of fear. Just believe. And see your needs met. See them met. Now, some will say, well, I'm not afraid, and I believe, and it hadn't happened today. Well, keep standing. Right. Keep standing. You know, there have been times when God's timing was longer than my timing wanted it to be. But you know what? The only thing is about God. Jesus said only believe. He didn't give us a time frame. He said just believe. Just believe. Just believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here today. And Father God, we just thank you right now that next time that we go through a certain situation and it seems that everybody else is getting their needs met and our needs are not being met, Father God, help us to understand that we can, first of all, get out of fear. Second of all, just believe. And thirdly, have our needs met. Father, we thank you for giving us utterance to be able to just trust in you. And Father, we just thank you for every person that's here, and we thank you that they'll fulfill that plan of God that they have on their life. But Father, we thank you if anyone is here that's not saved, that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place today without asking him to become their Lord and Savior. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your heart, lift your hand. We want to pray with you right now. We don't want you to leave this place tonight without the saving knowledge of him. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, man, one time I walked with God and I was doing the right things, but I've kind of turned my back and I went away and I want to rededicate my life. And tonight, publicly, I just want to come forward and publicly rededicate my life. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you're here tonight, never been saved, or you want to publicly rededicate your life to God, lift your hand. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I know I am. But you guys have talked about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4 said they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And if you've never received that Pentecostal experience, it's for you today. It's a gift that belongs to you. And that if you're here tonight and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and you want to, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. Father God, I don't see any hands. We thank you, Father, if there's anyone here that's not saved, that doesn't know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. We thank you for sending laborers across their path. We thank you, Father, for ministering, for people coming to minister to them. And we thank you that they will come into the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for it now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, if you're here tonight and you need healing in your body, you know, one thing, God has used me extensively in the healing ministry, and he checked my heart one time, you know, said, well, how come you don't always give an opportunity for people to get healed? And, you know, and sometimes I did, in fact, when we started a church here in Oklahoma City. So every time I minister, you that come here know that I always give an opportunity for you to get healed. You know, and I found out a lot of times what happens is that we only come down for the big stuff. You know, we if we have a cold, we don't come down. If we have the flu, we don't come down. But you know what? But if you're here tonight and you have sickness in your body, I don't care how small or how big it is, come down here right now. We want to minister God's healing power to you, because you know we've had so many great testimonies right here in this church. So many great testimonies of how people have been healed. And how many of you have been healed? You know, here you know, been praying for you after service. Amen. Number of you. So anyone here that needs healing, come on down here. Come on in. Anyone here? Just come on down. Don't feel embarrassed. See, this woman right here broke the ice. See, a lot of times no one wants to be the first one. Amen. It's okay to be the first one. Amen. Anybody else need healing? Amen. It's still open for you. Amen. So you can come down here. I want to talk to this lady right here real fast. And anybody else needs to come down, come on down. Amen. Healing belongs to you. Amen. So what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift both hands toward heaven. And I want you to think about two things. I want you to think about your healing. And I want you to think about how good Jesus is. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay my hands upon your head. And I'm going to pray, say something. Don't worry about what I say. All I want you to know is the power of God will go into your body to effect a healing and a cure. And when you feel that power hit you, I want you to say, there it is, or it's mine. And that's just simply taking a hold just by faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for your healing power of God. And Father, we thank you right now as we go to minister to this one and anybody else. We thank you, Father, that power shall go into their body to drive out whatever Satan's trying to do. And we thank you, Father, right now for healing her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, for driving out whatever Satan has tried to mess up her life. And we just thank you, Father, for it right now in the name, in the name, in the name, in the name, in the, that's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. In the name, of Jesus, be healed now. There it is. There it is. The healing power of God is flowing throughout your body. It's flowing. 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 That's it right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, don't forget a couple of announcements. First of all, you ladies interested in Kindle the Flame, will you be back here? Heather will be right back there. Also, now, where's the card for them to sign? Where's that going to be? All right. If you want to sign Dad's birthday card, it's going to be right here. And like I said, he's scheduled to be here on the 6th, and that's just a couple days after his birthday. He'll be 76 this year. We always tell Dad how old Dad is. We don't tell how old Mom is. You know, she's 6 years younger than my dad, but we don't tell how old she is. So, you know, but she's however old. She's still 39, I guess. Anyway, no, she doesn't really. She's not like that. She doesn't really care because she likes people to tell her she looks good for her age. So, amen. Well, praise God. The way we dismiss around here, I'll be back at this door to shake your hand. If you don't want to shake my hand, there's this door over there. You can go out. Amen. Oh, praise God. Don't forget, right, you know, back here at 6 p.m. Next Sunday night. Also, we are in need of some volunteers to help. We really want to start having Wednesday night services, but we need some help with the children. All right, and so you know, we want to have childcare, and so we need some people to help that. So you know, help with that, and so that's pretty much our biggest obstacle, the way Dad always says obstacle. And Wednesday night services, Mom and Dad said, we need some people to volunteer to work the nursery as soon as we can, in the children's area, and that we can start service. So that's one thing that we're in real need of. Amen. So, you know, I know many of you have been asking about a midweek service, and we're going to start that, you know, soon, but we're trying to get people to volunteer. And, you know, you don't have to volunteer every week. You know, volunteer once a month or whatever. We're in need of that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Dan will sing something as we go to the door. We'll see you guys next week.